Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we're with Greg Williams. He is the director of the Kentucky Marriage Movement. If you want to check out, find out more information about that organization, go to their website, KentuckyMarriage.org, or would greatly encourage you, Facebook-wise, to go ask to be a friend of that. He accepts all requests. Go to the Kentucky Marriage Movement group on Facebook. That's Kentucky Marriage Movement group. And you can be a part of that, get encouraged in your marriage, and just find out what a godly marriage looks like. But Greg Williams is the director of the Kentucky Marriage Movement, and we've been talking about what does a godly marriage look like, and what are some of the challenges of godly marriages, what causes problems in marriages. So if you missed any of our first two programs, I want to encourage you to go back to our website. You can find those 14-minute podcasts of these radio programs. It's simply at HopeIsHere.today. That's HopeIsHere.today. And hopefully you share that with somebody. If lots of people know people that are in challenging marriages, and just some really good information there. But, you know, Greg, one of the topics that we kind of got on in the first program, touched a little bit yesterday, and it's one I think it's so misunderstood in the church. It's just, you know, about what love is, respect, and then that submission verse, you know. It's people don't like that, especially here in the United States. So can you just maybe talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. I could talk a whole lot about that, Greg. I know we only have 15 minutes or less, but let me tie that together for you. We'll kind of wrap that up, tie it up in a neat bow. And by the way, get on Kentucky Marriage Movement group on Facebook. Request to join, and I'll add you to that. So I appreciate you doing that. There are three scriptures, I think, that really speak to this. Now, there are many, but three in particular. I think the first one is we go to Ephesians 5, and we go, okay, wives submit and respect, husbands love as Christ loved the church. Well, we need to find out what that's like. So let's back into that. I don't think you can interpret Paul's writing under the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5, where he says those things, without going back to Philippians 2. And in Philippians 2, we read one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ's sacrificial love for his bride, the church, for us. He says he did that we should have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, that of humility, and that's a key word. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he says that we should have that of humility. He did not consider equality with God something to be held onto, but he emptied himself of his divine nature. In other words, he set aside his lifestyle while he was fully God and then fully man from conception to ascension. We need to understand that. And here's why. Because I will ask men all the time, men, regardless of whether you had a fight this morning before you came to the conference or the series or the class, how many of you would lay down your life for your wife, would take a bullet or go to the cross? That's what we think of as Christ. Every one of them will raise their hand. Every one of them. Now, I say to them, now, you're honorable men. I understand that. That's why you do that. Or you look next to you and everybody else had their hand up and you didn't want to look bad. So they'll go, oh, yeah, that's it. But here's the real issue. What do we find in Philippians 2? That in order for Jesus' sacrifice, because it says he emptied himself and took on the form of man, you and me, and died a humiliating criminal's death on the cross. That death on the cross is what saves us. But it had to satisfy God's wrath. The only way that sacrifice could do that was if the first sacrifice that he made was his heavenly lifestyle. He emptied himself of his divine nature and all that went with it, the glorious lifestyle that he had with the Father in heaven. Philippians 2 says that. So when I'm talking to men and saying, let's not start with the women and say, you got to submit to me. Let's start with us and say, we have to love like Christ did the church and give up our values and life, not our values in the sense of virtue, but our goals and our ideas of what success is. We've got to set those aside for our wives and our marriage, just like Christ did, or his death on the cross would have meant absolutely nothing. We cannot separate them. And so when Paul said, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life up for her to present her pure and spotless on that day, we have to go back and find out what Jesus actually did. He gave up his lifestyle so that his death, giving up his physical life, would actually satisfy God. That's the model. I'll die for you, but don't expect me to give up my job and move or move with me. We're getting double pay.
Or play golf three times a week. I'm not giving that up.
Right. No, we have to change those values and those goals for the sake of them. We have to put them above us. How do we know that? Because he said right before that, the husband is the head of the wife, of the marriage, of the family. Well, what's that look like? We'll go back to John 13. We're going to look at Jesus again. It says in verse 1 that he showed them, one translation, the full extent of his love. That's pretty important. If that's what life is about and marriage is about and family and Christ's church, we ought to pay attention to what happens next. In verse 3, it says he knew he was from God and was returning to God, and the Father had put everything back in his hands. And I said, Lord, why would you say that? Because I want you to know that he knew who he was because of what he was getting ready to do. And it's, that's humility. We just talked about it. We should have that attitude. Christ was getting ready to wash feet and die on a cross for us. We can do that. We even do it. Churches have made an art form of loving from afar. Come down and serve downtown, pack some backpacks. Those are wonderful things. Right. We ought to do them. But we don't know how to love the person closest to us.
You know, if we're not doing it, we need to be doing it at home first. Is that what
exactly right? Because there's Jesus' model again. I say this in my conferences. He showed them the full extent of love. Started with humility. He knew who he was. And when he washed the feet and hung on the cross, it didn't change for one single second who he was. That's why he could stay there. We will do all kinds of things thinking that somewhere down the line we'll get something back out of it. There's always the fleshly motive because we live in the flesh. Paul said, I have to daily, as Wayne Smith used to say, buffet my body. But it was buffet. It was bring it under subjection. Die to my flesh. Because even when I do good things for you, Greg, in my flesh, it's going, wow, I wonder what he'll do for me someday. We all have that. Jesus didn't. He knew who he was. So then he took off the robe, put on the towel, washed their feet. And then he finished by getting up and saying, by the way, you call me master, Lord, rabbi, teacher, depending on your translation. They all mean authority. And he said, if you want to have that, go do what I've done, and you will be blessed. So love, humility, servant's heart, submission, submissive servant's heart, and authority all go together in God's kingdom. We've separated almost all four of those out in our world and even in our churches. Let's do some service, but be careful on our relationships. We have to build the relationships. We have to sacrifice. We have to be humble, and we've got to do it knowing that many times people will, as Oswald Chambers says, spit in your face. What are you going to do then?
Yeah.
You got to love them anyway. And you have to do the same with your spouse. Because my last comment on this is this. Jesus wasn't just washing his disciples' feet, the apostles. He was washing his bride's feet. That was the beginning of the church.
Wow.
Those 12. That's what he calls us to. Now we've got a good picture of Ephesians 5.
Well, one of the things I'd like you to talk about, and, you know, I've got tons of friends and married, children growing up, and, you know, I've had a couple of guys that have shared with me, you know, we put so much into our kids, and now our kids are growing up and left. We found out we don't have as much in common. So, you know, one of the things I've had friends share with me and that I've been able to see, have a front row seat, is that, and you talked about it in one of our earlier programs, that, you know, when we don't show our children about the priority of the marriage and their wives and things like that, then it kind of gets children thinking it is about them. Plus, then down the road, when the kids do leave to go to work or college or whatever, then there's not a good basis for a couple. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely, and that's a great point, Greg. You talk about the sort of entitlement. Well, it doesn't just happen in our culture, in schools and government and things like that. It happens in our homes oftentimes. And I alluded to it yesterday or day before, as you said, oftentimes we – If our spouse is not giving us that love and respect, we'll go to the workplace or go to our kids. And ultimately, we'll find it somewhere, or we'll keep looking. Oftentimes in a marriage or family, one of the spouses or both of the spouses go, well, I'm not getting what I need out of my spouse, so I will go find it from my kids. And then we start demanding things from our kids, although it's usually passive-aggressive. You know, well, you should play this sport or you should do this instrument or whatever. And we start living through them. And ultimately, that's because we are lacking. The three greatest commands are not written just in an order because they sound good. They're in the original language. They're written in a priority order. In other words, if I don't love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength because he first loved me, it's the only way I can love, then I can't even love who I am in Christ so I can love my neighbor. And my most important neighbor in a marriage is my spouse. I'm not in a covenant relationship with my kids. I'm in a very deep relationship there. They're of my flesh, but or adopted. And there's a tremendous love there as God adopted us in a family. But I'm not in a covenant relationship with them. I am immediately and 100% of the time when a marriage happens by God's design, and he's the one who designed it and ordained it, you enter into a covenant, whether it's good or bad. In your relationship, you're in a covenant. So what happens is, if we don't understand these concepts of love and humility and submission and sacrifice, servant's heart, then when that doesn't happen, we go to the kids who we can kind of manipulate and control and get them where we want them until they begin to grow up. And then all of a sudden, they're moving out on their own, and you go, now where do I get it? And to your point, that's what happens so often. Well, we just stayed in it for the kids. That's not what marriage is. That's a byproduct of marriage, and God's design in that in Malachi chapter 2, is why do I want you to stay in your commitment? Because I desire godly children, a godly heritage, so that more people will glorify me. Now we're right back to the Lord again. If you mess that up in not loving him, not knowing who you are, and loving yourself, it's hard to love your spouse, and you'll do the same thing with your kids. And oftentimes you'll find that those people where the kids grow up, move away, and the divorce happens, everybody then is broken, and there's pain and hurt, and those kids reflect it back to their parent, even though that parent did everything for them. So you have those kind of problems instead of a truth in love kind of relationship where you can give that to them by, as Dr. Dobson, James Dobson says, focus on the family. The greatest thing you can give your children is to love their mother. He's talking to fathers. Is to love their mother. And I add one thing, have a strong faith with God and a great love for their mother.
Yep. Or the opposite can be, you know, wives loving your husband.
Exactly right. Yes. Love your spouse.
So either way, right. And you know, I, just like you have counseled several couples, or not as many actually, because that is definitely the ministry that God has given you, and you're tremendous at it. But, you know, there's a couple I worked with, and I said, you know, when's the last time that you guys did something? They were having some problems. They said, oh, it's been several years. You know, we've got two kids. Yep. And if we try to go do something by ourselves, our 8-year-old just goes ballistic. And I just said, well, you know, you got to understand something, that, you know, you're setting an example for her, you know, kind of all that stuff you were talking about. Yeah. So they did. They went out on a date night, and the daughter was fine. You know, she kicked, screamed. They called, checked on her 30 minutes later. And I just said, just think about down the road. And they went on several date nights a week, you know, after that. And so it's easy, and it takes effort, but, you know, they did that. Yeah. And, man, that's going to pay dividends for their children, right?
Absolutely. And I would say this. I've been in it long enough now to know, Greg, I have counseled couples when their children were 6, 8, 10 years old. And then again, when they were 16, 18, 20 years old, and I've had to say to them, it would have been a whole lot easier had you done it at 2, 3, 4, even at 6, 8, or 10. But now it's 16, 18, 20. I can guarantee you now, no matter how difficult it's going to be, it's going to be even worse at 26, 28, 30, because you're likely going to still have to be doing this, and we shouldn't have to. Now, the greatest security that I give my children is what they see in my love for the Lord and my love for their mother, my wife.
Amen. All right, we've got to wrap up today's program. We're talking with Greg Williams. He's the director of the Kentucky Marriage Movement. You can find out more about his ministry and organization at KentuckyMarriage.org. Also, a great follow on Facebook at Kentucky Marriage Movement Group. Join us tomorrow. So we're going to be just sharing some examples. You may have lost hope in your marriage, but Greg's seen pretty much all in his many years of counseling couples with challenges. We're going to share some stories where people honored the commitment they made before God and worked through some challenging circumstances. So make sure if you know somebody's got a challenging marriage to tune in tomorrow for Hope Is Here. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.